From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.
Welcome to Postcard from Potbread. Well, the Brits are always whinging, but it's pleasantly warm here. It's not raining, it's blue skies. There are lots of young ladies playing tennis in the Potbread tennis courts, which is interesting. And my name's Eric Wiltshire. I'm enjoying my life at the base of the glorious Tatry Mountains over here in Potbread. Hence the name of the programme, Postcard from Potbread. Over in the whinge department of Europe, it's none other than Lee G. Banks.
Tra-la-la-la-la-la,
tra-la-la-la-la-la. Whoa. Hello, can you just be a little bit quieter?
Be a bit what?
Quieter.
There goes 1,000 listeners.
Yeah, exactly.
Tra-la-la-la-la-la.
No, it didn't sound any better when you did it quiet. Can you move about another 3 metres away?
I'm just happy. It is sunny. It is glorious. It's what Britain should be. It's warm and sunny and nice.
Marvellous. Oh, well, that's all right then.
That's what it is. Marvellous.
Marvellous. Move to the new location that was featured on television. I watched it the other night. The crime province of Australia, Darwin.
Well, it is now.
Rachel Brunsdon.
Hello. I'm in the middle of what I commonly now call as the Donga.
The Donga.
I have no idea where I'm moving. Caravan park to the next. I'm homeless.
Oh, dear. As you can probably hear, some funny noises in the background. I apologise for that. But that's because I'm about to share with you that the health secretary in the UK has revealed that 11 hospital trusts have been listed in a shocking report of care failures and have been placed under a special measure system to try and sort them out. Now, on several occasions, boys and girls, you've probably heard me complain about the National Health Service, and I will say at the beginning, if the NHS hospitals in question wish to get in touch with us to have their side of the story, they're very welcome. If they're not listening, it's your hard luck. I want to talk to now and introduce to the programme a really nice guy, Ricky Sharma. Hello, Ricky.
Hi, how are we doing, Eric? You okay?
I'm very good. Just say hello to Rachel and Lee.
Hi. Yeah, I know Lee, but hi, Rachel.
Hello,
hey, Ricky. How are you doing?
Yeah, not bad.
Okay, so Ricky emails me this week, boys and girls, and this is after the publication of Sir Bruce Keogh's review of 14 trusts, which was listed in a very heated debate in Parliament, where I have to say two politicians were trying to get brownie points, which annoyed me. That's Jeremy Hunt who started that all off. And it was talking about the hospitals which just didn't work, haven't got it working. And it's not just in this government, it's in this government and the former government. So it's both lots that are at fault here. In fact, because
I think that's a really good point to make as well.
Yeah, and I think because we're in a coalition now, that means Labour, Liberal and Conservatives are all guilty for this. So none of them have got anything sorted out. And also this week, I received an email, which was CT'd to me, from Ricky Sharma, who sent this for the attention of the Chief Executive, Queen's Hospital, Romford, Essex. First question, Ricky, have you had a reply?
Not as yet, no.
They haven't given you the courtesy of a response?
Oh, sorry, not from the actual Chief Executive, but I've had a response from just a general administrator who's then just logging it and then just forwarding it on to the relevant team.
So you've had a minions bothered, but not the big boss?
Correct.
Thank you. So we've had a minion reply. Now, this is quite a sad story because Ricky's sister, Seema, went into hospital on the 12th of July for a procedure, and the operation went kind of well. Is that right, Ricky?
Yeah, the actual operation went well, but what happened afterwards could have ended really, really sadly for all of us, really. So,
well, tell me what happened after the operation where, you know, I understand the procedure and I've had something not the same but similar, and it's very, very painful. It is incredibly painful.
Yeah.
And I do know that I will openly admit, boys and girls, with a similar procedure, I was crying because it hurt so much. And I suspect your sister was in the same position. So what happened next, Ricky?
Well, what happened is that the anaesthetist, I think I've got the right spelling.
Let's not read his name out at the moment because we want to be sure, you see.
Okay, yeah, well, what happened during the procedure, during or after the procedure, anaesthetist actually administered the maximum dosage of morphine to my sister. Mm-hmm. Then she was taken from there to the recovery unit, just like any
patient. Right, hang on a minute. Whoa. So presumably there'll be records here which we put on the bed thingy like was the case with me. So everybody should have known because he'd have had to sign out this morphine and allocate it to a patient, wouldn't he?
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
Lee, why are you coughing in the middle of Ricky's story?
I'm sorry, Ricky. I didn't think you could hear me. I turned away.
Idiot. Right, so we're at a situation where an anaesthetist will have had to sign out some medication.
Right.
He gives that medication to your sister, so presumably there's a bit of paper somewhere, unless he's got some lying around his back pocket, which I doubt, saying that he's got this medication out and given it to your sister, yeah?
Yeah, that was during the operation, so then she'd have been taken straight to the recovery unit. Mm-hmm. To recover, and then the anaesthetic or whatever it is wears off, and then they take you to the ward like just any normal procedure. Okay. Now, what's happened is that the nurses in the recovery unit have actually administered the exact same dosage of the maximum limit of morphine again. So can
you just quantify this for me? So the hospital in Romford. Give her the maximum dosage allowed of morphine.
During the procedure, yeah. Yeah,
and then she comes out, goes into recovery, and they give her the same maximum amount of morphine again.
Exactly, yeah, and what later was explained to me by their staff was enough morphine to knock out a horse.
What?!
Yeah, it's absolutely shocking.
Was it not chartered or something? Did this anaesthetist not chart it? Did the nurse not read the chart?
No idea what's happened. There's basically a real negligent act here that's gone on where just a general procedure, simple paperwork procedure, has been just completely ignored, and general duty of care, lack of duty of care has been is clearly the case here. And it could have ended fatally for my sister. Her body went into major state of shock. They tried to frantically try and recover her, get her back into recovery. And then eventually another anaesthetist was called to the scene who then administered an antidote, and then she finally sort of started to, the slow recovery procedure started to work then. So it was a real sort of, just really, really shocking. I'm absolutely shocked. But this hospital itself has actually had numerous bad press. This is just a clear example again of how poor their procedures and their staff are, really. I mean, this is absolutely atrocious. This could have ended really sort of sad for us and the family, you know?
I agree that, Ricky, but we're not saying that every NHS person is bad, are we?
No, I'm not. No. I'm literally where I live at the moment. The hospitals, they're as good as gold, to be fair. I mean, we're only human, but at the end of the day, like, this is just pure just negligence. Just looking at a piece of piece of paper just to see their general procedures, they just carried out a procedure blindly, basically. Mm. And that's what I'm where the whole family's appalled at. Really.
Right. Well, I think at this point we should also say, Ricky, to be fair, that if Queen's Hospital in Romford in Essex want to reply, they are very welcome to do so on the programme. And if anybody from the hospital wants to pass that message along, they are very welcome. So currently, you're of the view that it's a case of negligence.
Correct.
What evidence have you got of that? How do you come to that conclusion?
Well, I mean, their staff have explained to my sister that, yeah, it was a double dosage. They've actually told us that it's a double dosage. I just want a full investigation carried out. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, the fact that it should have been a day procedure and she was in there for an extra 2 days, or 2 nights, sorry.
Ouch.
Was really sort of bad for her, really. And I mean, and that's purely down to them just administering double the amount of morphine. It's atrocious, really. So, yeah, in terms of evidence,
it shouldn't happen at all.
Yeah, it shouldn't happen. It shouldn't happen. I mean,
particularly with opiates, you know, generally hospitals are quite quite diligent, particularly with opiates. I mean, they're under lock and key for one thing, but the signing in and out is usually, they're usually fairly careful. So this to happen is just an atrocious miscarriage of duty of care and of procedure and of everything else. If they got audited tomorrow, they'd be shut down.
Yeah. Yeah, and the fact of the matter is that they're trying to, at the moment, in the local area, there's two hospitals. There's one called King George and there's one, and this one called Queen's, which is newly, I think it's been in existence for about a year and a half, maybe 2 years, or maybe a little bit longer. But they're trying to shut down the A&E department in King George and transfer everyone over, redirect everyone over to Queen's. They can't even facilitate it right now. I mean, it'll be an absolute shambles beyond what it is right now.
So, hang on, whoa, you just raised another point there, Ricky. You're saying that another hospital is being closed to go to this hospital that could, if it went full term, have ended up with a fatality, a.k.a. your sister.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you might have seen in the press a few years back, there was a lady that I think had given birth, and then she was left to wait in the wait, like in the main waiting area or whatever. Or they left her on her treatment table for about 4 hours, and she bled to death.
It's
category of errors in this hospital, and it's really shocking. And the fact that as soon as she said she was being admitted to Queen's, our pulses started racing. You know, we just thought, oh, here we go.
Ricky, what do you want from the chief executive of Queen's Hospital? What do you want from him?
I want them to carry out a full investigation. I want them to personally apologise to my sister. And I want, at the end of the day, sort of she's still sort of recovering. She's recovering. I mean, she can't work at the moment. So naturally, something that should have been a day procedure has knocked her out even longer, you know? I mean, I appreciate there's been a couple of days recovery or whatever, but then she's now a bit... She needs the meaningful level of compensation sort of given to her as well, you know? This is wrong. This is really... I mean, also, we don't want this to happen to anyone else. We don't want this to sort of continue, you know?
Yeah. Lee, over to you.
Well, yeah, I think the situation your sister found herself in, and all your family, Ricky, is absolutely shameful. But on the wider scale of things, you aren't alone. And I know that's no comfort, but you aren't alone. Yeah, it's happening to everybody. In my own experience, a few weeks ago, a relative of mine went into hospital, had a serious operation, and was sent home suffering from the hospital bug. You know, and they said that actually the hospital bug could have killed them where the operation wouldn't. And I, as most people know, I live in the Midlands of the UK, where the Stafford Hospital crisis really revealed all this awfulness that's going on in the hospitals. Yeah. And it was a thing that blew the story sky high, the inquiry into Stafford Hospital, where 13,000 people, sorry, that figure's wrong, but a couple of thousand people died over a short period of time because the hospital wasn't operating as it should do. And the problem is money. It is finance. Yeah. It's not the fact that, you know, there isn't a way to cure it. What Britain needs to do now is stop bragging about its free national health service. It isn't free. We all pay for it in ludicrous ways. We pay for it through prescription charges. We pay for it through national insurance. We pay for it all sorts of ways. It isn't free. So stop bragging about it being free. And let's all channel the money that we put into the national insurance system, put it into private health care.
Well, let me just add...
It's not even unique to Britain, guys. Just a couple of weeks ago, we had in Brisbane, we had an outbreak of Legionnaires' disease in three different hospitals where an elderly patient actually passed away. Legionnaires is something that shouldn't happen in hospitals. It's a mandatory check of air conditioning and water supplies and so forth and so on. And patients have died in, you know, being left in corridors for 17, 18 hours at a time. It's not unusual. It's not unique to... It's a public hospital scourge that is an international thing, and it happens everywhere. Yeah. And you're absolutely right. It is money. It is governments and money.
Okay, well, look, let me just bring something else into the equation here, because back in January of this year, the Barking, Havering and Redbridge University Hospitals, which includes the one at Queen's Hospital in Romford, Ricky, there was a report into services where they're kind of like boasting, saying, we've done really well getting the maternity staff up to speed, da-di-da-di-da, and crowing about all these wonderful things. And I'll just read you the last paragraph, Ricky, and I'd like your comments. Please be assured of my ongoing commitment to high-quality care, and if you'd like to discuss these reports or any aspect of our work further, please do not hesitate to let me know. Yours sincerely, Avril Dongworth, Chief Executive.
Well, he needs to respond back then.
Well, she.
Exactly, yeah.
She, yes.
So, Avril, come on, do the right thing and get hold of Ricky and CC us in as well, and we'll happily tell all the good bits if you can fix the bad bits.
Absolutely.
I think that's a very good point. Can I just make a point on this further, though? Because if you think, the problem we've got with the hospital side of the NHS is very specific. It's a very old, it's a Victorian concept of putting sick people cheek by jowl in one massive building and then expecting diseases not to carry. And now, because the actual health, the standard of the cleanliness in the hospital, like Rachel's just been saying, even all across the world, have dropped so dramatically, and because the staff aren't trained, it is a lethal place to be. Hospital is a lethal place to be now.
Yeah, well, this is what I don't understand, guys. Let me share something with you, Ricky. Lee will probably remember the better date, but I can't. It was somewhere in 2005, where they ended up calling a priest out. I was rushed into hospital, very seriously ill, which the NHS hadn't sussed out. Luckily, the hospital in Slovakia sorted it out. And the interesting thing is, there's no superbugs here.
No, why is that? Why is that?
Because they use disinfectant to clean things.
That's right, exactly. And that
can't even
really
walk in there in your own clothes, can't you, Eric? It's really strict. You've got to you can't take your own bag in there. You can't take anything. It's like walking into NASA.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
But the point is, though, I was saying before that it is hospitals are a Victorian concept. And the way to stop all these problems is a simple Victorian discovery. And Eric's just said it. Disinfectant. Clean the hospitals.
Absolutely, yeah. Rock on. Okay, Ricky, we're going to have to move on. Now, what I want you to do, Ricky, is keep me up to speed, or any of the three of us, if you get a reply from the lady who's the CEO, if it is that you get any kind of correspondence, any way we can blow the trumpet for the people to say that they're doing something good. And that way round, it would be nice to have a positive out of the end of your hard work. But equally, Ricky, if they haven't done anything by next Friday, would you please come on here and tell us?
I certainly will do, Eric.
Thank you. You're very welcome. Ricky, it's been lovely having your company.
Thank you so much. See you again soon.
Well, let's hope we don't talk to you next Friday in the nicest possible way.
No, I fully understand that, but thank you all three of you. Thank you very much, Rachel. Thank you.
Okay, see you later, mate. Good luck. Cheers, mate. Bye-bye. That's Ricky Sharma, who's suffered at the hands of an amazing situation in the UK. And I tell you what, let's hope that something does come out of that. And, you know, Queen's Hospital, get in touch. You have the right. We don't mind. All you got to do is get Skype. No, we're all right, really. I'm going to move on to a different section now, because there are still problems in the UK with the huge sun that's got his, not his hat on, but his killer rays on. And this must sound really daft to Rachel, and it sounds very daft to me.
And to me.
But Lee, what's going on?
Well, it's just Britain. It's just British people. They're all idiots. It's hot, so they've all decided that they can't cope with the heat. If it rains, they can't cope with the water. If it's cold, they can't cope with the cold. It's warm. It's hot. It's beautiful. It's incredible. There have been some tragedies. There have been some tragedies. You can't take that away from it.
On a daily
basis, there are tragedies in the UK anyway. Some of these are related to the sun. There was a horrible story in the Daily Mail about a family's picnicking along the side of a river in, I think it was in London, and on the other side of the river were two dead bodies. Now, that not only told a tale about the heat, the bodies had died, they were believed to have been people who were taking drugs at the night and drinking, so really, in some ways, they were the architects of their own demise. But their bodies were left on the banks of the river. Now, that tells a story that British people can actually sit on the other side of a river having a picnic. But people are scared of the sun. We're actually scared of it. It makes you sweaty. It makes you all go brown and look pretty. It's a wonderful thing. Stop being stupid.
I'll tell you what, Rachel.
It's full of vitamin D. It is good for
it
you.
It is. There's nothing wrong with vitamin D, is there, Rachel?
We'll ask Rachel a serious question. Serious question, Rachel.
Vitamin Darwin.
Okay.
He's not listening to you again.
I know.
I'm listening.
Right. Here we go. Now, you're the mayor of Darwin, and in walks Lee Banks, who's the shop steward of the union. And he says, Rach, if it gets to 30 degrees, we should be given the day off.
Yeah.
And what would your response be?
Well, if today and for the last week that I've been here, I would say, my goodness, that's a lot of days off. It's the middle of winter and it's 35 degrees.
Right. That's what they suggested in London yesterday.
Well, they should all run into the river and there should be more dead bodies.
Oh, it's unbelievable. I mean, I do feel sorry for people that have suffered. I'm not belittling this thing. But come on, guys. Don't just sit outside with a knotted handkerchief on your head. That's not going to keep you cool. It won't rehydrate you, because Brits are terrible for this sort of stuff. You need to drink a lot of water.
And what they drink is a lot of beer.
Which is going to dehydrate you.
That makes you poorly.
Oh.
And remember that thing that we had back in the day, guys? What was it called again? The ozone layer?
Yes.
It's gone.
Oh, is it?
So, wear a flip-flop slap is what we call it here. You have to slip on a T-shirt, slop on your sunscreen, and slap on a hat.
It's as simple as that, isn't it?
Can I make a really serious Lee G. Banks observation about this and about the ludicrous British people who can't cope with the sun? All these people, all these namby-pamby silly people who are complaining about the fact it's hot and it's got sun, where do they go on the holidays? They go to Tunisia. They go to Africa. They go to Spain. They go to Europe. Because it's sunny.
Funny that.
Stupid.
I agree. Come on, Britain, wake up. An elderly widow has refused to pay her council tax. Good on you, June Farrow. Has been told that the debt will only be collected after she dies. And she thinks that's an enormous victory because she's been struggling to pay this debt off. Lee's been looking at this story. Lee, tell us more.
Well, really, yeah, I understand this. I think the council tax system in Britain is absolutely shameful. And it hurts so many people in so many different ways because it's so expensive. It's, you know, on my house, my house in the countryside, I make no bones about it. I pay nearly £3,000 a year council tax to get my dustbins emptied once a fortnight, and that's all they do. And I've got to sort it out for them before they'll come and take it. And this woman, in her own way, has fought against the council tax system. Because A, she can't afford it, and B, you know, it's just wrong, and it penalises people for nothing. I can tell you a personal story about it after. But now, what this story is saying is that the council have given up on threatening to put her in jail and all sorts of things like that, which is fair enough. I actually think this council, far from it being pilloried the way it has for what it said, is actually adopting a humane attitude.
No, it's got nothing to do with being humane.
No, well, listen, let me make the point.
No, it's got nothing to do with it. If they put her in prison, it's going to cost them, what, a couple of grand a week?
Yeah, she's only little.
1,500.
Oh, that's true. It's
a nightmare. Yeah, no, I do see your point. You've got that's a fair point to make. You're right. All right, the reason I said it was humane was this, because it would be seen And yeah, I rescind that word you made. Now I've thought about it and I've thought about something else as well. You're quite right. It is absolutely despicable what this council's done.
They're saving money.
They're saving money, but what they've actually done isn't really a story. That was the point I was going to make out.
Correct.
Because the choice is put her in jail, which will cost a fortune, and also garner you loads of hate publicity over jailing an old woman. But in fact, all they've actually done is what anybody else gets done to them if they own money. They've said, right, it's all right, we'll attach it to your estate. And then when you're dead, we'll have the money then. So it ain't a victory for her old love. It's a victory for the council.
Well, exactly.
Well, unless she goes, like, just before she dies, she goes on this massive shopping spree.
No, they can't do that, Rach, because the magistrates have granted a liability to the property. So they've done that. But Mrs. Farry hasn't got any kids anyway. And this way round, you know, she's going to have an easy life for the rest of her life. And the poor old hard done by council will just have to issue a few more parking tickets to get the money in the meantime.
I think that's true. And also, yeah, she's not going to have to pay the council tax for the rest of her life. That's a good thing. It cuts both ways. Let me tell you very quickly about how the council tax works.
You've got a minute.
All right, very quickly. I have quite a large house, as people know. And what I actually have are two kitchens. I have one in a house and one in an annex. It's like where you change your boots if you've been out in the fields and stuff like that. You can wash your hands. And it's a party room. Do you know that the council tax people in Staffordshire now have separated my house into two separate houses because I have two kitchens and now charge me double council tax?
They can't.
Rude.
They can. It's been done. It's actioned. It's everything else. They say that it is possible that you could use that as a separate accommodation.
Dwelling.
Therefore, yeah, and they charge me now. They've doubled the council tax on my house. They ain't going to get away with it. But at this stage, they think they have got a wonderful victory. They get an extra £100 a month off me for it.
Lee, there's a simple solution. Are they blaming the kitchen?
Yeah, it's the kitchen. Yeah, but I don't want to take the kitchen out. I don't see why I should destroy my house.
We don't have to destroy it. Just switch it off.
No, because you can also... No, seriously. Honestly, I've been through all these, and you can switch it back on. It's got no separate electricity supply. It makes no difference. It doesn't have a front door. It makes no difference. There is a space where you can see where the door from this part of the house into it was blocked off some years ago. It could easily be knocked through. They will not accept it. What's going to happen to them is something that I would say, watch this space.
We're in part one of Postcard from Pop right there with Rachel down in Darwin. I hope she's safe. Mm-hmm. I'll have to send her a bulletproof vest. Lee over in the UK, me over here in Slovakia. We'll see you again. Fasten, you make that cup of tea.
The Station of the Stars. RTI.